Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
You remember those days when I was like, Nanny! Oh, he's missed again. Oh, it's a long season, isn't it? Welcome along to Season 4, Episode 12 of the MLS UK Show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
Let's go.
It's not been a good few weeks, has it, for your boys?
I'm all for banter, but I've already said on the show I'm over this season. So now even the players have given up.
Yeah, would you be saying that if you were a New England Revolution fan?
I'm just glad I said it when we were doing well. Now it would look really, really bitter. New England, again, I'm dead pleased from, but what has happened?
They've got a good manager. I told you this, they've got a good manager, a few more extra players, and they've all stuck together like a harmonious little, I don't know, glue.
I don't like it because you bet on it as well.
Yeah, I've still got my bet going. Now, bear in mind, this is that they'll get to MLS Cup, so I could still lose it. We all know what the playoffs are like.
Sure. whereas we're still doing better than I would have ever anticipated. But it's just horrible to watch. It's unbearable to watch.
Well, I mean, you're not having a good time at the moment, are you? You've got Orlando on one side of the Atlantic.
And that's the only football that we're here to talk about. So let's get started.
No.
This episode's brought to you by Soccer 90.
Whoa. We've spoken enough about Bolton's troubles before. On this side of the Atlantic, you've got Norwich City. But let me just type in.
He's not typing, is he?
0 points after six games. So for our viewers and listeners who also follow the EPL, what's happening with Norwich? Why have you not got a point yet?
MLS UK show.
Yeah, well, you've talked about Josh Sargent before, and he's never played in MLS.
I never heard of him. What's your question?
Well, what's happening? Why have you got 0 points? Zip.
I'll tell you exactly what's happening. Mm-hmm. Strengthen the team.
Yep.
Genuinely happy with the players they brought in.
Okay.
Individual errors is the problem. Performances other than the Watford game, I mean, can you really judge the first four games? Can you really judge? We played like Man City, Arsenal, Leicester, Liverpool. So the Watford game was kind of like the one. You think, yeah, here we go. And then Everton. Performances weren't bad. Just individual errors.
Who's upsetting you the most at the moment? Is it Orlando or Norwich?
Norwich, 100%. Because it's embarrassing. All eyes are on the Premier League all the time. Yeah. And you come up from the Championship and you know what this is like. everyone immediately tips us to go down anyway. Mm. Now, last time we were criticised for not spending money. We've spent a lot of money this time. A lot of money for a club that's self-funded.
Yeah.
You know, Chelsea would spend that on one player. But, you know, it's we're self-funded, no debt. This is the most I've ever seen Norwich go for something and really, really go for it. And so individual errors is the issue for me. And that's why they're upsetting me more than Orlando, because a lot of money's been spent. Everyone already automatically goes, oh, what's the point of Norwich? How many times you'll see this? Everyone's up, oh, what's the point of Norwich? Well, I'll tell you the point of Norwich is it's run the right way. They're run properly. Like, there's no other team in the Premier League that's actually run that well. So the point of Norwich is actually doing things properly. But because everyone else is spending 100 million on one player, you just don't stand a chance.
I'm sorry I asked.
Told you not to ask me.
No, but if we know anything from this podcast, we do it every fortnight, every 2 weeks, and whichever team we're saying is doing well, then 2 weeks later is not doing well, and vice versa. So Norwich will probably win the next two games, be halfway up the league next time we do an episode. But you were right before, we are here to talk MLS, and looking back at what happened this weekend in the best league in the world, according to us.
I'll go along with that.
But first, we need to do, like we always do on the MLS UK show, we need to start with a game with a changing name.
Oh yeah, I'm just going to turn my laptop this way, because I don't want you to see. And do you know what? I couldn't tell you a lot about this particular player, so I'm going to have to visit their Wikipedia page.
Well, you said that you got inspiration for this player from FIFA, right?
Well, I decided earlier on this morning who the player was going to be for today's game with a changing name, and then came down here, loaded up FIFA 22, opened my first pack of the day on Ultimate Team, and got this exact player. And I nearly just said their name. That would have been...
Damn it. That was my plan all along.
Okay, so this is a player who's played in MLS and over here in the UK. And they were born on the 2nd of September 1989, which makes them 1 year older than you.
32.
They're 32.
Only just, though.
Mm.
So happy recent birthday to this player.
They were born in Brazil, in a place called Pato Branco. And here's their career. In 2006, they started at Internacional, that's Sporting Club Internacional, and then went to AC Milan in 2007 and stayed there till 2013.
Right.
They also played for Corinthians, Villarreal, Sao Paulo, and now play in MLS.
Okay, so you're obviously omitting the British team.
Way too easy.
That they played for. And you're also... So they're playing in MLS now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I know who it is, but I'm going to save my answer to the end. If you think you know, tweet us at MLS UK Show. Tell us where you're up to in the podcast when you figure it out. Or you can comment on YouTube. Just put it in the comments below.
The English team are one of the big teams.
Yeah.
It's not Norwich.
Would you have him at Norwich at the moment? You seem to do okay with Pukki and Sargent up front, maybe. I don't know.
I think I'm not going to say anymore because it'll give it away, but okay. I don't think they'd quite be up to it.
All right. Right. Well, we're going to be talking about the players who are and aren't up for it in MLS.
The ones able to walk.
Yeah, the previous weekend. But first, let's hear from our sponsors that is said through me and Elliot.
The MLS UK Show.
This season's MLS UK Show is brought to you by Soccer 90. They are at Soccer 90 Store on socials. Go and check them out. Go and give them a follow. Make them your primary source for every single MLS team. If you need MLS gear, they've got every single club represented in the Soccer 90 Store. And there's loads of Premier League stuff as well, apart from the team at the bottom.
And while you're there, if you want to get some MLS gear, some Premier League gear, or some international teams gear, then when you're at the checkout, stick MLS UK in the discount code and you get 25% off.
And tell them that they should get Norwich stuff, even though they don't stock Championship.
Or they won't sell it.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
Okay, so let's have a look at what happened this weekend in MLS. And I think it's fair to start with the New England game. I'm not doing this because of Orlando, but New England. New England Revolution are the first team to officially clinch the place in the playoffs. They're on course as well to break LAFC's points record. I think they only need another 11 points to break it, and there's like 8 games to go. So, yeah, amazing for New England Revolution. We've spoke so much about them this season. You said there that, obviously, I kind of said this was going to happen in a very loose, lucky way. But they've just been incredible, and it's well-deserved. And, yeah, no one is going to get the supporter shield off them. It's game over already.
Yeah, there's a couple of points I want to make with New England. First of all, this is the Leicester, isn't it? This is the reason that we all continue to support teams when it's not going well, because all of a sudden they turn it around, and that's the beauty of this league. This is why it's so unpredictable. That's why we love it so much. New England a couple of years ago, I remember I was stood... I don't know why I remember this so clearly. I was stood in the queue in the bakery, and I tweeted because I saw some stats about New England, and it was when Friedel was in charge and they hadn't won in X amount of games. And it was awful. It was really, really awful. And it was one of the like most popular tweets that's ever come from our account, because everyone just couldn't believe how bad they were. And I just think the fact that that can have been turned around in the space of 3 years is incredible. That's exactly why I love this league so much. You know, the Leicester, the reason Norwich have got 0 points and the reason I'll still be going on Saturday is because one day we might win the league. Maybe.
Or win a game.
Or, yeah, score a goal. Who knows? The world is our oyster. So, yeah, that's my first point. Secondly, on FIFA, you know, I had like a preview copy of FIFA 22. I know it's out now, but last week when I was playing it, I got boo in one of my...
Gustavo.
Yeah, Gustavo.
Not the girl off Monsters, Inc.
No, little boo. My boo. Yeah, he was in a pack, and not only did it say his position and his nationality, it had the new New England Revolution badge.
Yeah, well, this is what I wanted to talk about, because, as I said, we've spoken enough about New England Revolution. We've spoken enough about Orlando. So without completely disregarding this game, New England Revolution, this is the big news of the week, really, is that it's kind of been leaked. I mean, there's strong rumours anyway, but EA Sports have kind of potentially leaked a new
badge. It's still in the game now. I could like...
Which is incredible. What rebrands are going on left, right and centre at the moment in MLS. I guess Revolution are kind of the last out of the originals to kind of do it, really.
Their website is .net. I mean, come on, it's probably time.
So, what do you think about this? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm just glad they keep him the name. They can do what they want with the badge. Although I do like the New England Revolution badge.
I'm not opposed to a badge change. Even in the Premier League teams that have been around for 100 years, if Norwich did a badge change, I wouldn't mind it, as long as it wasn't terrible. I think that's the general consensus, is as long as it's not terrible. But in MLS, we've seen too many bad ones. There's been too many new ones that are awful. Yeah. The new Chicago one is also in the game.
Oh, right. Wait, this new one or the last new one?
The new one.
Oh, the new one
the
for
light,
next season.
The light blue.
Right, okay. The 2022 edition.
It's already on there.
Right, brilliant. Got you. Yeah. I agree. I don't mind it. I do have a nostalgic, even though we've really been watching the league about 5 years now, but I still have a...
Who are we to criticise?
That nostalgic look at the Revolution one. But it's not horrific, and I think that's all we can ask for. With that many bad examples, the bare minimum, all we can ask, don't make it horrific, and I don't think they have. It'll be interesting to see the reaction from New England Revolution fans when it does officially change, to see how they feel about it.
Can I just put you on the spot just quickly? If you've got the league in front of you, who needs one the most? I don't like Phillies. Doesn't do anything for me.
I get what you're saying, but I mean, Phillies is just it's a badge, isn't it?
You know, Chicago one's pretty bad.
Yeah. But without looking at Chicago, I don't know who would... Yeah, I don't really know who would need one, because I think, for me, they're all a bit unique in their own way. I like the ones like Dallas and, you know, like Inter Miami that have sort of a big picture or an animal in it. Same with Orlando. So I'll be
RSL?
Honest, maybe. I'll be honest with you. The only one I'm looking at and thinking, is probably Columbus, and that's the new one. Although I don't think that's horrific. So, yeah, with badges, I think we've passed... Once New England go, we kind of passed the point now. Maybe DC's the last sort of... Or one of the last remaining kind of which has been around for a few years now. I know DC have changed theirs as well in their time in MLS. But, yeah, I don't know.
Remember when we were going to talk about the game? I've managed to distract you for so long.
Well, tell you what, let's settle on RSL. They're the next one that needs to change.
Okay.
And it's not only the badge that we need to change after this weekend. You can see on Elliot's desk there in the picture, if you're watching on YouTube, that we've put a Portland kit on there to celebrate their big win, 6-1. At the weekend. And the thing with RSL is, I know they've the head coach left and they've not been great, so they've kind of been hit and miss. But when I saw this result, it surprised me when I then, after seeing it early on in the morning, then when I finally woke up and thought, oh, wait, RSL are seventh still.
Yeah.
I normally associate that result with a team that have just fallen off a cliff. Like Dallas, for example, if they'd lost 6-1, when they played this weekend against Vancouver, you would have been like, oh, well, yeah, Dallas, that is expected. But RSL, I was surprised. But with Portland, let's talk about them. Two big wins this week, and they're proper rolling at the moment.
Yeah, and MLS is one of the only leagues where you just casually get people from the same family on the score sheet week in, week out.
Assisting each other.
It's just absolutely ridiculous.
It is brilliant, yeah. I don't think that happened when Gary and Phil Neville... We're playing for Man United much. But yeah, it is great. And it was good to hear as well from the MLS UK point of view. Liam Ridgewell is back.
It was a question on the chase the other day.
Was it?
Yeah. And Soccer AM's, Soccer AM Pro-Am, it was a question on there as well. Which former Portland player had gone to do media duties for the club? And I was screaming, Liam Ridgewell! Liam Ridgewell! Bryony's watching it with me like... Why do you feel so passionate? I was like, it's MLS on the telly in England. And he got it wrong. So,
oh, of course they did. But yeah, we wouldn't get it wrong, of course. And yeah, it was good to hear him in spits and little spats. I mean, I didn't watch the full game, but I heard it. Like, I heard him on the highlights. Portland, I've got to say, the real man of the match in this game actually would have been Timber Joey. I think his arms would have been aching the next morning.
Has he got enough fuel for the old sore?
I think he'll be queuing up at a gas station to get some more on Sunday. But I mean, the thing is, like, you look at the six different goal scorers as well for Portland. It's really clicked at a good time for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you say, it wasn't an easy game for them. I know they're at home, and I know on their day they're capable of doing that to pretty much any team in the league. But yeah, you're right. That's a sign that they're really ready to kick on. And this is going to be really interesting for the last little bit of the season.
RSL, back to the old RSL, the RSL that we've got used to while doing this podcast, a team that will score as many as they concede, and they will score and concede a lot of goals.
Speaking of which, goals for 42.
Goals against, I'm going to say 43?
41.
41, yeah. So,
they're on plus one.
That is the RSL that we've
known. How has it never changed, though? We've all, unless we're wrong and we just sort of don't pay enough attention, this is every year.
Maybe last year when there were no crowds in, I think they managed to get a goal difference of either plus or minus like four instead. But yeah, it is. It's the same every season, and that's why we love RSL. And we it's a shame that because they're in the West, the matches tend to be on at very late, early morning, if you will, in the UK. So we don't watch them or don't get to watch the full matches as much as we would like to.
I just put over 2.5 goals on and go to sleep on a bet.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's go then to Seattle. This was last night. So to be honest, I watched the first half of this and I had to go to bed.
I'm coming clean. I didn't see it.
You have a breakfast radio show at 6 a.m. So that means that, I mean, this match had only just finished really by the time
I was awake before it finished, genuinely.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But Seattle won 2-1 at SKC. Big win this, and they jump above SKC. Top of the West now.
Yeah, this is the thing. I think, I know they've played a game less as well. So it's a real sort of, it's a real statement because they've got every chance that they just stay there now. And I know we love SKC and we love what they've done this season, but Seattle are so strong. There's every chance that that's it now. There's every chance that, you know, with that game in hand as well, they stay there.
Yeah, and Will Bruin, it was nice to see him score. It's been a very injury-affected season for him, only his second of a season, but that's nice to see him get the goal because hopefully next year for Seattle, I mean, how frightening is this? They're already top of the West, and then next year they're possibly going to have a Jordan Morris back. They're going to have a fully fit Will Bruin. Add that to the likes of Roldan, Rui Diaz. It's just frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, Ladero, etc. I love... I love Jordan Morris. I can't wait to see him back. I think I almost didn't like it when he was over here. I love seeing MLS players coming, but he's just, for me, he's just Seattle through and through. And he just belongs there. And I think I'm really excited to see if they can hold the rest of those players there to see what they can do with him in the team as well, because it's going to be frightening. I can't wait.
The playoffs are hotting up. It's getting to that stage of a season. And so I tell you what, we tend to go down the east first. So we're going to go down the west today. And in a change of what we normally do, because we'll normally stick any nil-nils right at the end of the recap. But Colorado Rapids, third in the league, they'll see these as dropped points big time. Nil-nil. Oh, yeah. Home to Toronto. If they would have won, they'd have been a point behind, you know, at the top of the west. There's nothing to worry about. They're going to get the playoffs, and I guess this is just a minor hiccup. But you still look at Colorado. They've got Seattle to play twice. You've got Minnesota, Portland. They've got New England and LAFC. That's a tough running for them.
Yeah, for me, that was a must-win game. Just not necessarily because it's Toronto, but because of who they've got to play still. They would have been a point behind Seattle with the same amount of games played. They'd have had a game in hand on SKC as well, who they'd have been above. For me, that was a massive opportunity to make a bit of a statement, maybe kind of get position before you go into those difficult games. I'm not saying they're not going to win some of those, but they're not going to win them all.
So we're hanging our hats on that they'll be fine. 45 points, incredible for them. And, 12 above the playoff line, so it should be okay. Mm. One of those teams that we said they'd be fine, and now they're looking over the shoulder. LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
They've had a really bad run. They lost to Austin FC last night. They were the first team since Columbus on the 28th of June not to score a goal against Austin, which tells you everything about LA Galaxy's run. They've not won in seven now. Is there enough there to worry about?
Well, Austin have got the worst goal record in the West, and they've conceded 40 goals. So I'm amazed at this result, if I'm honest with you. But I kind of feel like I still think they're going to be fine.
Mm.
I keep saying to you, when that man's back,
Chicharito,
yeah, they're going to be fine.
Okay, well, they've got a 5-point buffer on LAFC. LAFC lost again this weekend away at San Jose. Cali Clásico Light, I think. I don't know if that's what this is called. San Jose are level on points with LAFC. They've got Vancouver between them. So LAFC's in 8th, San Jose are in 10th. 3 points off the playoffs. We have been saying that LAFC will be fine. They'll pick up enough points to get in the playoffs. Should we be saying that about San Jose?
I'll be honest with you, I'm really here for this battle. This battle for the West, the last place in the West, maybe even 6th and 7th, as both up for grabs. I think it's really tough to call. For all of the reasons that we always say about this league, there is nothing to say that San Jose don't go and leapfrog Vancouver, LAFC, even Minnesota. There's no reason why not. You know, and we've seen with the amount of games there are still to play, how they pack them in, how teams have to rotate. There's every chance that any LAFC, Vancouver, San Jose could all make it.
Yeah, well, San Jose have had a great run in the last 10 or 15 games. So much better than what they've had it previously. So they are in the ascendancy. So again,
still a minus goal difference, which says it all, I think.
Yeah. But it's both conferences. It's really hotting up. Now that it seems that maybe not in the West, but especially in the East, that who's going to finish top, the supporter shield is all done and dusted. Now you're looking at the playoff places, and there's a whole bunch of teams that could drop out but also go in. Minnesota won 2-0 at home to Houston, probably expected. This is probably the most expected result of the weekend. They finished it early on, 17 minutes, 2-0 up. And again, Minnesota, they're in a bit of an ascendancy. They're sixth now. And, they carry on the good form. They could easily get into that fourth spot and get that home playoff spot.
And the only stat we care about with Minnesota? Goal difference, 0. They have conceded as many as they have scored.
Fantastic. That's what we love in MLS. We love a team.
And they're sixth in the league.
We love a team like RSL in seventh who, we just don't know what's going to happen in any of their games.
Yet somehow they've only drawn 7 games. How does that work? It's ridiculous. It means when they've lost, they've really lost, and when they've won, they've really won.
Yeah. Moving below the playoff line then, Vancouver, they beat FC Dallas 1-0. Very eventful game, this. It's Brian White scored his second in two games, his sixth since June when he was traded from Red Bulls New York. Dallas had a penalty in the last minute. Franco Jara missed the penalty. We'll talk about Dallas in a moment because obviously Lucho got fired and we can discuss that. But yeah. Vancouver, they find themselves in between LAFC and San Jose. What do you think for their playoff chances?
I rate them. I really do. I think there's still every chance. Like we just said with San Jose, there's a chance with Vancouver. There's always a chance with LAFC, of course, with the roster that they've got. But isn't it nice to see Vancouver up there?
Yeah. Well, if they go off, they've got a game in hand on San Jose and LAFC. So points per game, they would find themselves in eighth. Dallas then, 27 points from 27 games. They're 11th in the table. It's not clicked for them. Do you think this was the right decision? Because they have got some good youth players coming up. Is it? Should they have kept Lucho to go, then look to the future?
I wonder whether there's obviously been, I think when you fire somebody at this stage of the season, when you're in Dallas's situation, you're clearly unhappy with not just results, but more than that, I think, because they're in a position where realistically they're not going to make the playoffs.
No.
So if they weren't unhappy with Lucho and his either capabilities or the way that he was working, you know, they could have made the change and tried to rescue the season, but they didn't. It's now too late for me. So for me, that says it all. That was like, no, cut ties. We go again, but I would be using this time to give youth players experience. They're not going to make it this year. I know it does matter where you finish, but it also doesn't matter where you finish.
No, not in MLS. I mean, Pepe, rumours are that he is going to be the next player to leave for Europe.
For me, it has to be more than rumours. Even as somebody outside of the organisation, I don't watch FC Dallas every week. They play at ridiculous times. We all know he's a talent. We all know that they're not even a top 10 MLS side. It would be so miraculous if they managed to keep hold of him. And we've seen the rate of players moving over here now. It's non-stop. And it's like people have finally discovered this league.
Hello. Well, where do you think he'll go? I know there's been rumours of certain teams. You know, Chris Smith, who is a friend of the show, he put something out last week on his, I think he does it through 90th Minute Football. He was saying that there's a lot of teams in Serie A, in the Premier League, La Liga, that are interested in Pepe. If forget all the stuff with like work permits and stuff, where would he go if you had to pick?
Be unusual to see him go straight to the Premier League, I'll be honest. Not just because of the work permit, but we've seen, as we've discussed with Norwich, and let's look at Norwich in a serious capacity for a second. The Norwich team is genuinely good. Look at how difficult it is to compete in this league now. You know, the standard is unbelievable. A few years ago, we were talking about teams, you know, teams at the bottom of the Premier League playing against MLS teams, and it would be. I'm sorry, no. The squads in the Premier League are way, way better. And even though the teams at the bottom of the Premier League look like they're struggling, the league is just an unbelievable standard now. So for me, I think it's a massive leap. It would be massive to just jump straight into the Premier League.
Right then, moving to the East. Let's start at the... I've kind of run from the top of the conference in the West to the bottom, so let's do the same. We spoke about New England. Nashville.
Oh, great little club.
That great little club. 6 points above NYCFC in third now. They have a team in that. If we look at the four that we looked at a few weeks ago, being New England, Nashville, Orlando and New York City FC, they're the only ones that have kept a form going. The rest haven't. So Nashville, we're saying they'll finish second then?
I really hope so.
Especially with that home form.
I really hope so. They deserve it. They deserve it. They've honestly, what I'm so here for Nashville. I love it. Look, we talked about badges. Great badge. First things first. Yeah, it's important. It is. Yeah. First things first. Great badge. But yeah, they've assembled a roster. Do you know what I like? They went all in. I know you said to mention. Went all in on getting Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Huge. That's massive. And that was the intent. That was the level to where they were like, no, we're going to compete and we're going to try and win this thing. And do you know what? New England, let's be honest, we're giving them all the credit in the world, but it is it's a freak season that they've gone that far ahead. Yes, they deserve to be there, but unusual for somebody to literally be on.
Yeah,
on
12 months ago, you're not saying
62
that.
Points ahead of Nashville in first and second. You're thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So, in any other season, that would be absolutely stunning. I'm dead pleased for them. I think it's excellent. Few more home losses than I'd have liked because they've lost as many. They've drawn too many home games, is what I mean.
I was going to say.
They haven't lost at home yet.
That's a funny joke, Elliot. And then your face was still serious. Like, I was like, wait a minute.
In my notes, I've written that they've lost too many home games. I mean, they've tied too many home games.
Six games at
home. Yeah, which is the same as their away form. Mm. So you kind of think, oh, if they'd have just picked up a few more points, like what could have been? But I'm absolutely here for Nashville. If they could just lose at home less, that'd be great.
I would love to talk about that game. They drew away at Chicago Fire 0-0. But I mean, I'm not saying nothing happened, but when I watched the highlights back at MLS, put on YouTube to get to 7 or 8 minutes, they did start putting tackles in and the odd pass and a goalkeeper catching a cross. So that tells you everything.
While we're on this subject, right, do you watch the highlights on the MLS app?
I watch them on YouTube, so I assume they're the same.
All right, can somebody tell me, right, I use the MLS app on my phone, right? Mm. When you go on the app and you select highlights, you get a choice of like the 15 minute ones or just like one that's like 4 minutes or whatever. Yeah. I choose the 4 minute ones and it will still show me the full 15 minute highlights regardless. Is that just me? Can someone let me know if I'm doing something wrong?
Okay, if someone from the MLS's engineering department would like to get in touch with the podcast and solve Elliot's query, it's at MLS UK Show on Twitter, Instagram, or you can email us hello@mls.show.
Been doing it all season, it's driving me mad.
Continuing in the East then, it was the Hudson River Derby Part 2 this week. The first one was a rearranged game. That was on Wednesday. That finished 1-1. This time, Red Bulls came out on top at the Yankee Stadium. Big win for Red Bulls. Let's face it, I don't think they're going to get in the playoffs. So to win the last derby of the season...
That's their season, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something they can at least hang their hats on. You know, Fernandez with a goal. New York City FC, though, I watched the second half of this game. They huffed and puffed. They couldn't... blow down the New York Red Bulls goal, if that makes sense to anyone. The goalie's played very well, and he just wasn't meant to be. But NYCFC, would you be concerned? Because they're only 3 points above the playoff line now.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because Orlando were there a few weeks ago, and it's all gone to pot. Mm. So, yeah, absolutely. We've seen how quickly things can change. So I wouldn't be getting too comfortable.
Yeah, 1 in 6 they've won now.
The feeling.
New York City FC. You'd think that they'd turn it around. They've got a top players there. I mean, Castellanos, I think he's combined goals and assists is at 20, which if you've got someone like that in your team, 9 times out of 10, you're going to finish in the playoffs. So it must be, I think there'll be a few NYCFC fans who are a bit nervous at the moment, but I'm sure it'll be fine. Moving on to, I'll say something like going into an Atlanta defeat, like, oh, a team who it won't be fine or something like that. But, I mean, Atlanta lost at Philadelphia this week.
No 1-0. Shame in that.
But
didn't have Joseph either.
If you no, we didn't. There was a Jose Martinez on the pitch for Philadelphia. But for Atlanta, if you 2 episodes ago, which is like 4 weeks ago, if you'd have said to me, "Well, this is where Atlanta will be next at the end of September," I'd have bitten your hand off. I'd have took it like some great home wins. So yeah, Philly's a tough place to go, but I wasn't as concerned as I would have been a month ago.
No, and if you'd have told me a month ago that Atlanta would be 2 points behind Orlando, I'd be fuming.
I always thought it would happen.
Oh, wait.
I didn't really.
I am fuming.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at Philly and look at them at the moment in fourth, I know you probably count DC in this as well and Atlanta and maybe Columbus. Is that these teams are looking at the likes of Orlando and New York City at the moment and going, well, they're dropping points at the moment. They're falling. We can really take advantage of this. And if you take that Orlando were already out the top four at the moment, as it stands, NYCFC are only a point above fifth as it stands. There's a potential for 2 spots there for teams who are on the rise, who are really playing really well, to get that home playoff match.
Teams that started horrifically like Columbus and Atlanta. And one of them's going to make it. I know they will. One of them's going to make it, and it's going to be at the expense of someone who's kind of been there the whole time. And you have to come back to it. That's why I love this league. And do you know what? If Orlando don't make the playoffs, genuinely, I won't even...
You deserved it, let's face it.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not even going to be annoyed because they've just crumbled. They deserve it.
DC, they're hitting form at a good time. We always praise Lasada ball. We like this at DC this season. Well, they won 4-2 against FC Cincinnati at the weekend. They went 4-0 up. Arriola scored 2. Bombom and Roberta made it 4-0. Acosta made it 4-2. He scored against his former club. But he must be stood there at 4-0 thinking... Hadn't really turned out how I
anticipated.
But I mean, poor defending again from Cincy. We've talked enough about them. Is it with Cincy? And I don't want to become one of them podcasts that starts saying that head coaches should be fired and stuff. But with Cincy, we've said before, we don't really see a future with Yap Stam for them. Do they just sort of say our season's over, like Dallas have done? So it's not worked out. Let's try and build something for next year now. Or do you think they'll just still hold out to the end of the season?
The MLS UK show.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold up a minute. I'm future Elliot.
And I'm future Henry Hewitt.
And we were just about to talk about Cincinnati and how they should get rid of Yap Stam. We finished the podcast. We sat over there and started to play FIFA and then realised that it was breaking. 5 minutes ago, Yap Stam's been relieved of his duties at FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, we literally on the podcast, which you will never hear now, said, well, what should they do? Should they get rid of him now and then have the end of the season just to sort of bed things in and get a new head coach in the close season? Anyway, sit down. 5 minutes ago, check our phones, Twitter. Cincinnati have relieved, for the official term, relieved him of his duties. So Yap Stam has gone. Initial reaction, I guess, breaking news for us, not necessarily for people listening or watching, because this would be maybe a day or two old by the time they get to see it.
Guys, breaking, you already know.
But initial reaction?
The bit that's not going to go out now, I said, and you won't back me up now because you just want to make me look stupid, but I said they've invested in every area of the club. The training facilities, excellent. The new stadium, great. The staff, the people. We've spoken to Jack Stern, the goalkeeping coach. Everything's excellent. They've gone all out on the roster as well. And then they've never really, for me, invested in an experienced coach that's going to lead the team. And I literally said that, and it probably works out that it's exactly as I said it. They got rid of him. So, needed for me. A bit of a weird time in the season. They've been here before, though. This is what they do.
Yeah, this is the thing for Cincy. They needs to change because they've invested heavily in the team and it hasn't paid off. They've got this new stadium and it's not paying off. Like, one win at that new stadium is not good enough. So it does need to change. I think you're right. I think we need to do invest in a head coach. But, I mean, who? Like, if you're looking at people with strong MLS experience, well, you think of Arena, Bradley... you look at
Jason Christ.
Well, he could be Jason Christ, but you look at Vanny as well, Caleb Porter. These are all guys that are in a job, so where do we go?
Yeah, true. It's a good point. Interestingly as well, Johan Dammit has been relieved of his duties as well, which seems a bit harsh, and they reckon that it became clear to them while they were undergoing a process of evaluation that the coach was somebody they no longer wanted to lead the team. So, I mean, for me, it doesn't help them this season. I know if you want them gone, you want them gone, but it's not going to help them this season. The coach they had in mind to lead their MLS 2 team is now going to be leading their actual MLS team. That's not ideal either. Sort it out, Cincy. Let's make this appointment a really, really big one. And let's go for it next year.
I think the irony of clubs relieving people of their duties when, quite frankly, Yap Stam could actually be relieved.
Oh, it'd be more than relieved.
So I think it's being relieved from both sides. But there's breaking news.
Lucky guy.
I guess we need to go back to the past and what we've already recorded and talk more MLS.
The MLS UK show.
Montreal are in seventh. They are just above the playoff line, at one point above Atlanta. They lost against Columbus this weekend, which was a massive win for Columbus.
Yeah, and do you know, Montreal for me have gone under the radar a little bit this year. Everyone's kind of talking about how Atlanta had a poor start and Inter Miami had a poor start and can't believe Columbus are down there. But no one really looked at the fact that Montreal are there.
Yeah.
So gone very much under the radar this year. And that is the spot. They are currently occupying that spot that is so hard to call. I feel like they're not going to stay there.
Well, I think if you look around the teams that are competing for it, you look at, obviously, the top two we've already said are probably going to be there. Then you look at NYC, Philadelphia, Orlando, DC, Montreal, Atlanta, Columbus. I mean, Miami have possibly missed their opportunity now, but they're still only 5 points off. Montreal do stand out when you mention those teams. And they stand out because, let's face it, Montreal don't perhaps have the budgets of them, or they don't have the sort of PR savviness of those teams. So maybe that's why we're looking and going, yeah, Montreal will fall out. But be there for a reason. They deserve to be there. But I've got to admit, I agree with you. I would be surprised if we look at the end of the season, we look at this conference, Montreal are in seventh, and you've got the likes of Atlanta, Miami, Red Bull, New York, Columbus on the outside. I would be surprised.
Yeah, I agree. I think as much as there's a hype machine with Atlanta, you'd be amazed if they didn't make it.
Well, especially the way they've been playing.
Yeah.
Let's round off then. We rounded off. We can talk about Miami, though, because they, as I just said, they lost. They were playing well. It looked like they turned the corner. And then suddenly they lose at home 4-0 to Red Bulls, who, as we've said, Red Bulls are 11th. So that's not exactly a team that was firing all cylinders. Yeah, yeah. They lost 5-1 at home to Nashville, and the wheels have fallen off again. And it just seems this cycle at the moment for Miami where they get a bit of form, they get a few good wins, and then the wheels fall off, and it's back to square one.
But I think that's a roster problem for me. I think you have to be able to rotate. It's the same for Orlando, by the way. I know Orlando got themselves up there, but when they rotate and they have these midweek games and then they play again on Saturday and then again on Tuesday, they don't have the roster for me that's going to go into every MLS game and get a result. So that's why I believe that's happening. However, they got two games in hand on Columbus.
So it's not all over for Miami just yet.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
Okay, still to come, we've got Henry's Guide. I've no idea where we're going today, so that's one to look forward to. First of all, though, how do you fancy a game of the Jason Christ is Right?
Let's do it.
Henry Hewitt, come on down. Okay, not been your best season on this, I'll be honest with you.
No.
A chance to redeem yourself today as we look at the clean sheet percentages of this year's MLS teams.
Right, okay, got you. So this is the amount of, really, the amount of games they've kept a clean sheet, but in percentage form.
Yes.
Got you.
So, do you want to have a guess at Atlanta's, first of all?
Atlanta, I reckon they've about 22%?
It's 26.9%. Oh.
Better than what I underestimated Atlanta.
Now remember, it's not all about who's top of the league and who's bottom, because sometimes, you know, you can have a few 0-0 draws. So do you reckon Austin have a higher or lower clean sheet percentage?
I think this would be quite easy, bearing in mind that LA Galaxy this weekend, as I said before, first team not to score against them since June.
True.
So that's a lot of games they've not kept a clean sheet. So I'm going to say lower.
It is lower. It's 16. Higher or lower than 16, RSL?
RSL. They do score and concede a lot, but it can't be as bad as Austin. I'm going to say higher.
It's 23. Higher or lower than 23, FC Dallas?
Oh. This is one where I'm going to just have to go off position in the table, so I'm going to say lower.
It is lower. It's 11. We're halfway through. Higher or lower than FC Dallas in 11, Toronto FC?
Lower. Definitely lower. I mean, 11 is a low. That's well, going to be one of the lowest, but it's got to be lower than 11.
It is 7.7.
And they got a clean sheet this week. Imagine what it'd been like if it didn't.
True. Higher or lower than 7.7, FC Cincinnati?
Oof. Wow, that's a tough one. You know what? I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway, just because they've been that bad. Is it lower?
It's not. It's 24.
24? Yeah. Wow.
Higher or lower than 24, Colorado Rapids?
Oh, that's got to be higher.
It is higher. It's 40. Wow. A tough one for you. Higher or lower than 40, Philadelphia Union?
Oh, they've not really stood out as much this year, which tells me their results haven't, which then tells me they could have kept quite a lot of clean sheets.
I like your thinking.
So I'm going to go slightly higher.
It is slightly lower. Oh. 36.
Oh, no.
And your final one, what? Higher or lower than 36? Really think about this. Nashville SC.
Ooh, Nashville have scored a lot of goals. They've got a lot of fives, but they tend to be 5-1. I'm going to go, again, slightly lower.
Lower than Philly's 36, you think Nashville have a lower percentage?
34, 33?
It's 40. Oh. It's higher. Never mind, mate. Maybe next year.
I mean, I did okay. I think I redeemed myself a little bit with that one.
Sure.
Earlier this week, as we record this on the Monday, well, it was this weekend, actually, we put a tweet out and asked for questions for us for the podcast, so we got some here. First of all, Charlotte, who's been on the show, Kirby Hazard, she says, can we end the season now? And that's from obviously she's an Orlando fan.
Oh, Charlotte.
No, we can't. As an Atlanta fan, no, we can't. Elsewhere, we've got Chris. He says, which player from the history of your respective MLS clubs do you wish had played for your English clubs?
Oh, great question.
Now, both of our MLS clubs are quite young in their history.
I didn't see this, so I haven't even had a chance to think about it.
So I tell you what, through Orlando, let's just go from their MLS history, not their USL history.
Yeah, yeah. Because famously, Dom Dwyer did play for Norwich somehow.
Yeah. As an Atlanta fan, I guess mine's quite easy, actually, and it's going to be Martinez, Almiron, maybe Nagby, but maybe Parkhurst. But I'm going to go with Bolton. They've been wanting a goal scorer for years, so I'm going to have to go with Martinez. But it's close with him and Almiron.
Do you know what? This is tough, this is. Mainly, we've not had many good players. I would love to see Daryl DK at Norwich. Surely he has to be the best player we've had.
He could actually be a legitimate case to go to Norwich as well. That could actually happen.
We don't really lump it forward enough for DK, I don't think. But extremely good finisher. I'd love it. He'd offer us something different.
Yeah.
Which arguably is what we've got Josh Sargent for now. However, Daryl DK would be good.
Good goal by DK at the week. We never mentioned that. Yeah. Something else from the weekend that we haven't mentioned yet, and this is from David Valentin. He says, how damaging is playing in baseball stadiums and American football stadiums is it to the British fan watching on TV? So he's referring to, obviously, New England Revolution. They play at the Tennessee Titans. No, it's the New England Patriots game. That would make sense.
Patriots.
Nashville play at the Tennessee Titans game, of course. Then Chicago, we saw yesterday, they still had like American football markings on the pitch, Yankee Stadium. So is this a concern for when people like us are trying to get more British people watching the league?
I think so. I do. I think if you want to be taken seriously and you want to have a league that's performing in its own right, you have to have your own stadiums. I genuinely believe that. Even Atlanta's is amazing, but and it's better than most MLS stadiums. But I think there's something about having your home and owning it. When you watch Nashville, it's not a disaster. You watch New England Revolution, it's not a problem. I just think they could do with their own stadium. I think it's important. I just think it is a part of our culture. I think it's important. NYCFC, I'm sorry. That is the most damaging thing for this league. And I know you think I'm joking, but people look at that and it's a joke. It's a joke.
Knowing and seeing what some NYCFC fans are saying, I would like them to have a new stadium because the fan base wants it. They're sick of splitting the season between the Yankee Stadium and the Red Bulls Arena. So, yes, I would like New York City FC to have their own stadium. In regards to teams playing in NFL or I don't know, college stadiums or whatever, I don't think it's damaging. I think it is when the markings are still on the pitch. I was really disappointed seeing it this week. Mm. But when you've got the likes of Atlanta, Seattle, they deal with it in a different way. They have different different pitches come on and stuff like that. I think there's not a problem with that. And it's great to see these stadiums because, like we've mentioned, FIFA and a lot of players of FIFA who aren't in MLS or don't watch MLS will see these stadiums based on what they're doing on FIFA. So for them to be seeing the likes of the Benz and,
the Benz, listen to
the Benz and whatever Seattle are calling their stadium nowadays is good. So I'm not all against NFL stadiums. I just think sort out the markings on the pitch, because that is a bit embarrassing. And it must be difficult for the players. You know, when they get the ball on the big chunky line that's at the end of the NFL pitch, and they must think, oh, am I out of play? Am I in play? Well, you know, so it must be tough.
Yeah. Lumen Field, by the way, for those who are thinking there's a bit of Eastern bias, as he casually calls Atlanta's the Benz, and then, oh, whatever, Seattle. No, I will agree with that. I don't think that's putting European viewers off, you know, playing at NFL stadiums. I just think there's a culture that, as a fan, if I was a fan, if I was a New England fan, I'd want my own stadium. But they're absolutely running away with the league, for goodness sake. Let's have our own family in our own stadium, you know?
Kieran asks, what current MLS players do you think would do well in the top European leagues? Any young players specifically you think are being overlooked because they play in MLS?
I mean, there's so many now that I'll be honest with you. I think the league is much better scouted now. Mm. So, you know, we've talked about Pepe in this episode. Yeah. We've talked about Mueller, who's already leaving. I think, to be honest with you, I think people are onto it. So there's not going to be as many go under the radar anymore. But I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure there are some gems, and there's always one that surprises you as well. If you notice, there's one that you sort of think, Hunt. Particularly noticed them, or you know, someone's seen something in a player and they want it, and I like that. But I think it'll be less and less that any go under the radar now. The league's got a spotlight on it.
Yeah, and I think it's the younger players that we'll see get to the big European teams. I think the slightly older ones, like we've seen Jordan Morris and DK and Mueller, I think they will go to the likes of, if they come into the UK, they'll come to the likes of a Championship or the Scottish Premier League, or, you know, those sort of leagues, and then make their way up from there. I think it'll be the younger ones that will go to the Premier League. Right, and finally, Liz.
Romeo Beckham.
No, I think he's okay with his dad in Fort Lauderdale. Lee asks, what's our favourite MLS commentary phrase that we wouldn't hear in the UK?
Shot on frame!
Yeah, a shot on frame, I like that. Well, what was the one I mentioned it a few weeks ago? It was when the ball had been rebounded. So, you know, when the keeper's pushed it out and the guys come in and scored. I mentioned it on the podcast, I can't remember. It was not a dead ball, but it was a... something like an open ball or something like that, you know, where it was a ball that had been pushed out and the attacking's coming in. So we do notice quite a few, because with Sky Sports, when they show MLS matches here in the UK, they have the British commentators, whereas when we watch it on Free Sports, they have the commentary from the States of a local station. Oh. Okay.
What was that?
God knows what that was. That was Sky Sports. Sky Sports aren't happy with us mentioning Free Sports. But Free Sports will have the commentary from from America. So we get to hear these phrases. So I am enjoying that.
One I've adopted over the years, and Bryony laughs at me because now I just say it normally, like when we're just watching a game, is I once heard somebody, I'm sure it was Andre Blake, who was like, and Andre Blake said no! And I just like, whenever a defender like slides in, I'm like, yeah, Grant Hanley says no.
Right, it's time for Henry's guy. I'm going to pick that up. I don't know what it is, but I'll pick it up when we next go to break. I think it's your
speaker.
It's just
falling off the edge. How does that happen? We got a ghost in here.
But before we do sort that out and go to a quick break, we need to do Henry's guide, which there's not many left now.
Nashville!
And you know what? No, you know what? You have wanted Nashville for so long, and I have noticed this is episode 95.
Ooh.
We have about 5 left, so it could end up being that Nashville, Henry's Guide to Nashville,
go on,
is on episode 100.
And the travel ban's being lifted. We'll go to Nashville to do it. Who's going to pay for us to do that? Please?
Yeah, we'd be looking for a sponsor for that one. But anyway, Elliot, it's now time for Henry's Guide to Montreal.
Ah, famous, of course, for its country music while in the snow.
Yeah, we did this, we did Toronto last time. So I thought, well, let's round off Canada and do Montreal. Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henry.
Did you know that
Sorry. Start again. Go on.
Hey, Elliot.
Hey, Henry.
Merci beaucoup. Montreal is the second largest city in Canada with a population of around 4 million. Mm. In fact, it's actually the fourth largest French-speaking city in the world, behind Paris, and then one in the Democratic Congo and Ivory Coast.
Oui.
Yes. Oui. I was going to say C. it's in the Quebec region of Canada, and it's actually an island, Montreal. I didn't know this. It's an island.
Sorry, I thought you said it's in Ireland. No. I was very confused.
Island, I spell IS. Or whatever it is in French, and it's actually five times the size of Manhattan is Montreal, and it's only 50-minute drive from the U.S. border.
I did know that.
The most famous person that we'd know in the UK that is from Montreal is William Shatner. The video game Assassin's Creed was made in Montreal.
Not a fan.
The first ever hockey game was played in Montreal in 1875.
Not a fan.
And its nickname is Sin City. Now, you may know that Vegas is also nicknamed Sin City, and Montreal is named Sin City because it is actually the second most popular stag do or bachelor party location in North America.
Well, you've not had yours and I've not had mine, so we know where we're going now.
We're going to Montreal. On average, it snows for 2 months of the year, and it's famous for bagels and poutine. Have you ever had poutine before?
I have a question. What's poutine?
Poutine.
Isn't he the leader of Russia?
No. Poutine is nice. It's actually it's cheese curds with chips and gravy. So as you know, as a proud Mancunian, a delicacy in Manchester is chips, cheese and gravy. So I have tried it and I do like it. It's very nice.
Poutine.
It's famous along all of Canada, really. Chips, cheese and gravy, yeah.
Fair play.
And that was Henry's Guide to Montreal.
Just really want some poutine.
Don't we all? This week in MLS. So good news, picked up the speaker, and if it drops down...
Put it upside down.
Who cares? It's predictions time. We do this at the end of every episode, and I was delighted at the end of last episode when... I won the predictions, so I'm back to 5-3 up. You'd won 3 in a row, so I was getting a bit nervous at being 4-3, but it's now 5-3. Spot on, I got, there was only one, I got Portland 2, LAFC 1, spot on. So let's see how we do this time. There are some matches midweek, by the way. So this is on Wednesday evening. We've got Atlanta versus Inter Miami, Toronto versus Cincinnati, DC versus Minnesota, Montreal versus New England Revolution, Red Bull New York versus Philadelphia, Chicago versus NYCFC, Columbus versus Cruz Azul, Campeones Cup.
Nice.
FC Dallas versus SKC, Nashville versus Orlando. Oof, that'd be tough, yeah.
Great little club.
Colorado versus Austin FC. By the way, if Nashville beat Orlando, can all Nashville fans watching and listening just tweet at Elliot Holman on Twitter just saying great little club. Houston versus Vancouver, RSL versus LA Galaxy, LAFC versus Portland again. Portland are our MLS UK show championship champions, by the way. Three games they've won, so they're looking to make it 4 against LAFC, and San Jose versus Seattle.
Can I just go back to that Atlanta into Miami game?
Mm-hmm.
How come one of them aren't playing Orlando? Surely that's the first week ever that not playing each other.
If we don't win that, I want to see Phil Neville crying at the bends.
I want a 0-0 draw.
So this weekend then, we'll do our predictions starting on Saturday evening. Austin FC versus RSL. This is at 8:30 in the UK.
This is why, right? It's A, this year has been so difficult. And B, as a UK fan, it's a joke. There's one game on Saturday. There's one game and it's at 8:30.
Well, I mean, there is some late Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, isn't it? Like, you're immediately into on the second game, you're into midnight. It's madness.
So go on then. The only game you're going to watch this weekend, Austin FC versus RSL. Who's winning that one?
RSL 3-0.
Really?
Yeah, don't at me.
It's an RSL game, so they will concede, even though it is against Austin. Nah. And Austin... Sheet. No, Austin, who have not only conceded one clean sheet since June, I think this will be 2-2.
Clip this off for the next episode. 3-0, telling you.
Montreal versus Atlanta.
This is huge.
Oh, the poutine.
It's the second massive, massive game in a few days for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I think they win 2-1.
I'm confident, actually, of Atlanta. And I'm going to go 2-1 as well. I'm going to give Montreal a goal just because of poutine. and how I like it. But no, 2-1 Atlanta.
Cincinnati are playing Red Bull New York. And I have to say, this is actually a tough one to call. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, a tie.
No, I think Red Bulls will win. I think it'll be 2-0.
Orlando play DC. They'll lose 3-0. Next.
Well, Orlando have got to win at some time. But DC are playing well. I think it'll be a good game, this. I think it'll be, though. I think it'll be 2-2. Orlando will equalise late on.
2-0 DC. Dallas play Minnesota.
Minnesota win 1-0.
2-0 Minnesota for me.
Vancouver versus San Jose Earthquakes.
Another big game. Vancouver with a home advantage, 1-0 win.
Yeah, I'm swaying towards Vancouver, actually. I think it'll be 3-1 Vancouver. And yeah, that West playoff fight will be hotting up.
And would you look at this? Sunday afternoon, 5 p.m. in the UK. What is going on here? New York City at the Red Bull Arena playing Nashville. Great little club. Unfortunately, I think this is going to be a draw and I'm going to go 2-2.
I think New York City will win this, actually. Yeah, I think it'll be 2-1.
Kansas play Houston, 9 p.m. On Sunday night. And this is an easy game for Kansas. And on paper, I'm going to go 3-1.
Yeah, SKC, the defeat to Seattle's not the end of the world. I think the form's still good enough, especially to beat Houston. So I'm going to go with a 3-0 win.
Philadelphia Union play Columbus Crew. This has to be a Philly win for me, 2-0.
Yeah, Columbus, this is another big game for them. If they want to, you know, break into that playoff zone. Philadelphia just ticking along nicely. They're getting good wins, especially at home. So I think it'll be 1-0 to Philly.
Toronto are at home against Chicago.
talk about a dead rubber game.
You first.
0-0 again for both sides.
I'm going to go 1-0 Chicago.
And there's a lot of games Sunday evening, actually, which is good to see. Portland versus Miami. Providence Park, one team who's just come off a 6-1 victory against a team that's come off a 5-1 defeat. Everything about MLS tells me that this will be an away win, but logic tells me it won't be. I think Portland will win. I think they'll win 3-0.
2-0 Portland for me.
Early Monday morning here in the UK, 1 o'clock, which is for an LA derby.
It's quite early.
El Tráfico is an early one. So I should hopefully stay up and watch this one. LA Galaxy versus LAFC, what are you saying?
Galaxy win 3-2.
This is tough to call because, I mean, both sides are inconsistent. I know LAFC have won at least in their last 7 games, whereas Galaxy haven't.
It's time to turn it around for me.
I think it's going to be a draw, though. I think 1-1.
Final game is Seattle Sounders versus Colorado Rapids. It's at 3 a.m. I'll just be getting up for work, so I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to watch it. But I do think Seattle will win it 2-0.
I agree. I think Seattle will win. When you look at that game, if you looked at that game 12 months ago, it's an easy answer. Looking at it now, it's tough.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's not. I'm not saying they'll wipe the floor with them. Seattle just excellent.
I don't want to go same as you, so I'm going to go 2-1.
Giving him a goal. Okay.
And that's it for the predictions. Let us know what you think is going to happen at MLS UK Show, Twitter, Instagram, and hello@mls.show on emails.
Shall we do a roundup of the game with the changing name?
Yes, I was quite confident with this one. I think I've got it right. So this is a player that you got in an Ultimate Team pack on FIFA, right?
Yes, I was inspired. So they started their career in Brazil with Internacional, and they moved to AC Milan in Italy, played 117 times for Inter Milan and scored 51 goals. Also played for Corinthians. And while at Corinthians, they went on loan. If you know who it is, where did they go on loan to?
Chelsea.
Played twice, so that's good. moved to Villarreal and then Sao Paulo before moving to MLS and playing for
Orlando City.
And how many appearances have they made for Orlando?
Zero.
One. it's, of course,
Pato.
If anyone's seen him, let us know.
So well done if you got that right, and you got it right before I just said it 5 seconds ago.
Did you notice where they were born? I read it out at the start just to give a little hint.
Oh, Pato Blanco.
Pato Branco, yeah.
Wow, amazing. That's from me, who was born in Henry Chester, and you that was born in Elliot Witch. Now, moving on. Right, don't forget to subscribe.
Say see ya. Yeah.
Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast provider. We really appreciate that. Leave a review while you're there as well. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, leave comments, and share to all of your friends as well. That'd be much appreciated.
Yes. Any other business?
I think we're done.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but much like Norwich City, it's pointless. So, see ya.
See ya.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.